a neat conversation. And she said, but I could tell there's not a lot of peace at times in you. And she's so right. She's so right. I don't know if you deal with that, but I deal with that. And I just want to start by telling you a true story. There's a mom. I could see her. And she's in the store, and she's looking for gifts. She's looking for presents. She's looking for presents for her children. And she's taking her time picking out the perfect gifts. She's picking them out, and she knows each one of her sons. And she gets the gifts, and then she doesn't stop there. She wraps them meticulously with the perfect bow and the perfect wrapping. And the sons are not allowed to go where the gifts are. See, they don't really understand the gift giver. They don't understand what's going on in her heart and her mind to give a gift. So they go in and they rip the gifts apart. They find the nearest window and they throw the gifts out. So I know that story so well because my brother Mike and I got in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. But I think of that story all the time, and we laugh in my family, but if you really think about it, and you really think about Jesus, and you really think about the gift, and I really think of my life, and I think of where I am, the lack of peace, the lack of understanding of what the true giver, God the Father, is to give his only begotten Son. I tell you, I think about that all the time. And I could probably tell you a lot of other stories, but I will stop there. But I just want to read this to you. It's on your bulletin, which worked out perfectly, but it is from Isaiah. For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, and from this time forth and forevermore. And listen to this part, because it is God who does this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You know, unto us a child is born. It's a wonderful prophecy. It's ours. Unto you, unto me, a child is born. Do you know that's the greatest gift you will ever be given? And it is God coming in the form of man, humbling himself like you and me. Imagine that. But he's God at the same time. Can't explain it to you, don't really understand it, but so thankful for it. The very nature of a servant, Jesus came. Very nature of a servant being made in human likeness. See, he humbled himself for you and for me. Again, I will never understand it, but I am so thankful. Unto us a son is given. He is the God eternal. Listen to this. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Do you get, you understand? I keep repeating myself over and over. Jesus is God. So the only way that you can actually have peace, and peace that is true and right, is through God, is through Jesus. That's it. And we're going to look at Jesus's names here real quick. We're not going to go through a lot with each one. So they're not literal names, they're more characteristics of who Jesus is. And then we're going to land on the Prince of Peace, on Shalom. And we're going to go through that, and we're going to take a look at it. But if we look at the Wonderful Counselor wonder, it points to Jesus as being God, his deity. You know, if you want a counselor, if you want a really good counselor, the best counselor you could ever have, get on your knees. Have your heart just humble before the Lord, and go to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he will be your Wonderful Counselor. Counselors are wonderful, and we need counselors, and if you need one, you need to go to one. However, Jesus is the true and mighty counselor. He's the one that we should go to. This is what Spurgeon said. Jesus is our counselor in the sense that as God the Son, he takes counsel with the Father and the Holy Spirit for our good. Did you hear that? He takes counsel with the Father and the Holy Spirit for our good. The high counsel of the Godhead brought forth salvation. The Son must suffer. He must be the substitute, must bear his people's sins and be punished in their stead. The Father must accept the Son's substitution and allow his people to go free because Christ had to pay their debts. The Spirit of the living God must then cleanse the people whom the blood had pardoned, and so they must be accepted before the presence of God, even the Father. That was the result of the great council. Do you desire to be pardoned this morning? If you're not, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't know the peace of God, and you don't know that, you can have that simply by being humble before the Lord and crying out to him, then mighty God, for the Lord is a mighty God, a mighty King over all the gods. He rules over the whole earth, from the deepest caves to the highest hills. He rules over the sea, which he made, and the land also, which he himself formed. Revelation 1:8, I am the first and the last, says the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and is to come. So we're going to look this morning at Jesus as our Prince of Peace, who gives us his peace. Listen, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is Shalom. He also gives you his peace. Can you imagine that? That God would even care? That God even cares about giving you peace? But he does. He wants to give you his peace. He wants to give you his love and his grace and his mercy. And then we're going to look at how he secures that peace. So he is the Prince of Peace. He gives us his peace and he secures it. So listen to this, and I love this. Just if you could do me a favor, just imagine yourself being here. Imagine yourself being on a hill. Imagine yourself in the morning, just out in the field. And it says, there were some shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. He will find a baby. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, now listen, if you could be here, imagine what it would look like. Suddenly, the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, peace to those whom his favor rests. Again, I've said it about 20 times, but God's favor, he wants his favor to rest on you. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Linda, my beautiful wife, I'm just going to ask for forgiveness. You know I was going to say this, but I never get a story right. I never get it right. But I was asking Linda, and she's so good. I love to kind of bounce things off her, like when I was like, I got to speak. I'm not sure what to say. I don't really know what. And so I asked her, I said, what is peace to you? And she gave me two really good ones that I'll go over. But one that she said to me, and I would never have thought of, she said, you know, when I'm just rocking in a chair and holding a baby, that's peace to me. And that to me was just a revelation. But think of that. Just what is peace to you? What is peace to you? And to my wife, it came back to just peacefully rocking a baby. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He's our Shalom. You know, Shalom would have been, if you were walking in Israel back in the day, you would just say, Shalom. It just means hi. Hello. How are you? But it means so much more. It's so much deeper than just, hello, how are you? It means the absence of war. But again, it means so much more than that. I just want to go back really quickly to your history. You know, your history and my history is not the prettiest thing you've ever seen in your life. You have Adam and Eve who are in the garden, and it is perfect. It is perfect beyond what you could ever imagine. And they have fellowship with God. And then you have Satan, the devil, the serpent, that comes and messes everything up. But Adam and Eve have a choice. God has told them what they need to do, and yet they don't listen, and they disobey God. The serpent asks them all these questions to mess with their mind. Did God really say this? Did he really mean that? You know, the end result was God said, do not do this. Do not partake of the tree. And Eve did and gave to her husband. Do you know that's our history? And that caused conflict with God, a separation, that we are not in fellowship with God. They're at war with Him. We're at war with Him. We are God's enemies. Do you know your history? Do you know that? And I'm saying it because I'm going through this, and I was reading it, and I was like, you know what? That's who I am. That's who I was. Do you know that? It's not pretty. It's not something that you want to dwell on. You know, I listen to a lot of music, and songs that just keep coming on the radio over and over again, and voices that you're like, wow, that's an amazing voice. And there's this guy named Jelly Roll who sings this song, and this reminded me of what we're like. It reminded me, this is what he says. I'm not okay. I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days, and I'm losing sleep at night. I am not okay. I'm hanging on the rails, so if I say I'm fine, just know I've learned to hide it well. I know. I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life, but God knows. I know when it's all said and done, I'm not okay. And I listened to those words, and there's more to the song, but I remember being there. I remember driving in Smithtown in my parents' car and driving and just being, I'm not okay. And I can sense the Lord kind of pulling me toward himself. And then I wrecked my parents' car, but that's another story. What is your heart like? You may be sitting here today, and your relationship with the Lord, you may be saying, praise the Lord, Jesus is my King. You may be sitting here today saying, I don't really care. And you may be sitting here this morning saying, you know what? I'm not okay. I'm not okay, and I need help. Trust me, I've been there. And praise the Lord, the Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom. He cares for me. And if He cares for me, He cares for you. He died for the whole world. There's a very deep meaning of shalom. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our Prince of Shalom. Anyone like to go to the beach? And my favorite thing is to look for the smoothest rock I can find. The smoothest one, so I can just go like this and then try to throw it in the water. Let it skip 20 times, and yet it just skips once. It goes bloop. But have you ever found that stone that is smooth, no cracks, nothing on it? You ever go to the beach? You can smell it, right? You can smell the water. You can just be there and hold this stone. That is what shalom is. There is no cracks. I'm going to keep coming back to this until everyone just gets up and leaves. Don't do that. Do you have any cracks in your life? I ask those questions because I know you do. And God knows you do. Lord knows I have a lot. So shalom, it's something that's complex with a lot of pieces. Is your life complex? Does your life have a lot of things moving back and forth? Linda and I got up this morning at 5 a.m. to see our daughter off to college. I hate to get up early. But you do it. You do those things. I'm just about to get back in bed, and the phone rings. My heart's popping. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? She's like, Dad, there's an indicator light. It's saying something about the brakes or saying something about the tire. Like, that's life, right? That is life for you and me. You want it to go smooth. You want it to go as smooth as that stone, and you don't want anyone to say, we got an issue. You don't want that to happen. Houston, we have a problem. But does your life go that way? No. Every single day, your life will be that. Tim Mackey says this. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being, like David when he visited his brothers on the battlefield and he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment, is any of it out of alignment for you? Or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. But hear me, I'm not just talking about me being a baby because I got up at 5. Or that I had to go to bed at 2 o'clock because people were over. And I had to drive to the railroad station, which is wonderful because that's what we do. But I have my own ways, right? And I get like, oh my gosh, I want just everything to go perfectly. I get into bed at 10. I wake up at 8. I have my breakfast, I have my coffee, and there's no problems. I wish there was no problems. Think of your relationship. What I'm trying to get at is it's not just those minute little tiny things. It's your soul. It's your soul and your relationship with Jesus. It's my soul. I know, I tell you this all the time. One day I'm going to breathe my last, and I'm not going to care about what kind of coffee I had that morning. I'm going to care about my Lord. I'm going to care about my Savior. And that's where we will be. But you need to be right with Him. You need to know when you leave here this morning that you're right with Jesus Christ. Do you remember the Jelly Roll song I said to you? Well, the other song I heard the other day when I was rollerblading and not watching where I was going. Megan Woods has a song. And you know what? Not very often that I listen to a song that I'm like, oh my gosh, that is like right on point. She said, the truth is, I am my Father's child. I make Him proud. I make Him smile. I was made in the image of the perfect King. Do you know you were made in the image of the perfect King? He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is, I'm truly loved. Do you know that you're truly loved? By a God who's good when I'm not good enough. Do you get it? We're not good enough. You may walk around and you may look wonderful, you may act wonderful, and people may even say that person is perfect. But we all know we're not good enough. By a God who's good, and when I'm not good enough, I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you. Do you know you belong to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Messiah? The Prince of Peace, and that's the truth. I hope you believe that. The second point. So the first point was that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Shalom. The second point is that Jesus gives us peace. And the second thing that Linda had told me was, and I may get this wrong, but I asked her about peace, as I told you. And what does it mean to you? And she said, I remember when I was younger. I remember my mom, and I remember us. And I remember us going to the window, and it was a hurricane. Anyone here ever been in a hurricane? Well, you live on Long Island, so there was at least one time you've seen a hurricane. And they were at the pane window looking outside at a hurricane. And then all of a sudden, you could have heard a pin drop. It was just quiet and peaceful in the eye of the storm. And Linda had said to her that was one of the most peaceful things that she had been involved in. Jesus gives you His peace. Do you want His peace? I know I want His peace. He says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, Jesus cares about whether you're afraid or not. You know, the angel said, don't be afraid. You know, Mark and Beatrice did a wonderful job. You know, they could have preached the sermon because every verse they said pretty much is what I have in my notes. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, for He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall. Listen, He has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Do you know He's broken down the dividing wall of hostility between you and God? Did you know that if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you are an enemy of God? In order to make that right, in order to make that whole, God gave His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. And all he asks of us is to be humble and to realize that we need him and to ask him to be our Savior and to be our Lord. It says, by the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in place of two, of the two, making peace. Who likes Christmas hymns? And thank you, Vox, for this morning. And Stephanie, thank you. And to watch you holding the baby as you were singing was amazing. And I just think of this. Think of, O come, Emmanuel. Remember, God with us. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Refrain. I don't think I'm supposed to say refrain. Rejoice. That's why I got kicked out of the choir years ago. Anyway. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, King of nations. Bind in one of the hearts of all mankind. Bid all our sad divisions cease and be yourself the King of peace. Do you remember the story of Jesus when he was on the Sea of Galilee and he has these fishermen in a boat and they're just like, they are scared. Fishermen, scared. Doesn't make any sense. And they're on the boat and they think they're going to die and Jesus just says, be still. And the waves and the wind and everything is quiet and perfect and peaceful beyond belief. This is what Jesus can do in your life. I had the opportunity recently to witness to somebody, and as I started to ask questions and they started to answer the questions, the real fear, and that's what everyone fears, people fear death and the future. And that's what was coming out. And they were saying, I'm fearful I'm not going to go to heaven. I'm fearful that God won't let me in. Do you know how many people say to me, Mark, I can't come to your church because when I walk up those steps, God's going to strike me dead. I'm like, that is a lie. That is a lie from the devil, just like he lied to Adam and Eve. He lies to your friends and to your family today, telling them that if they come in here, not only God will strike them dead, but we'll look at them in a certain way that's not good. That is a lie beyond belief. So as I'm witnessing to this person, it was coming back again and again to just being humble. And I said, you know, you can pray. And they said, I can. I said, do you want to? And they said, yes. And we just simply prayed. And only the Lord knows people's hearts, so I don't know, but we prayed together that this person, that the love of God, the peace of God, the salvation of God would come upon them as they humble themselves to say, I have no peace. I'm fearful of tomorrow. I'm fearful of the future. And Lord, I need your help. I want you to be my master. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my King. Fearing death in the future, honestly, that's me. I don't think it is, but it is. I fear death, but not so much. I told this person as I was speaking to them, I said, I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to be with my Savior. And I do know that. I'm just fearful of how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen and all that kind of stuff. But knowing I'm going to heaven and knowing I'm being with my Savior is for sure. Hebrews 2 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives, listen, free those all their lives who were held in slavery by their fear of death. Is that you this morning? You know, the Bible speaks clearly. The more I read the Bible, the more I study the Bible, the more the Bible I know is true. And the last one, the last point is Jesus secures our peace. Just listen to these verses. Listen. For in him all fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Jesus went to the cross for you. He died for you, and he rose again for you. He secures our peace with him through his death and resurrection. You know that word fullness there, coming all the way back to shalom, means completeness. That in Jesus, the fullness of God dwells in him. Listen to Isaiah 53. Crushed for our iniquities. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Listen to this beautiful verse. Vow and take this as a promise. I pray that you go home and that you look up all these verses and that you read them. And this is one that stays with me. Thou will keep him. Thou will keep Mark. Thou will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is everlasting. Listen, the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Tim Keller says, Christian peace is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died, paid every debt, and fulfilled every requirement that you have before the Father. Christian peace is based on that. He has given you a clear deed, a clear title to adoption into the family of God. Proverbs says, when the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. This is the last quote by Tim Mackey, and then I just want to end by telling you a story. Peace takes a lot of work because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken. Do you have anything broken in your life? Any relationships? Moms, dads, siblings, work, boss, neighbors? True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in the world. And he says that's the rich biblical concept of peace. Jesus will give you his peace, but you can't stop there. He's asking you, if you have his peace, if you have his salvation, that you would share that with people around you, the people that you know, the people that you love. And as I look out here, this New Village Church has the reputation of being a loving church. I know it does. I hear it all the time. And that's what God wants. He wants people to look at his church and say, they're loving, they're caring. You have peace. Now give that peace out. And don't stop there. Just keep going to build relationships, to build those things. You know, that's why Jesus died, to put things back together. And he gives you that ability through the Holy Spirit that lives in your life. You know, everyone decorated yesterday. I think I decorated, but in actuality, I was on my phone, walking around, being a slacker. And I was in the back as I was not helping as much as I should. And I shouldn't say that. I did help a little bit, but not as much as everybody else. And I was in the back. And, you know, I just love Russ and Lynn Noble. They have a special place in my heart. I remember they're missionaries, and I remember them being at our house. We lived in Mark Tree Road, and I remember them being on our deck with our kids. And they had a telescope. We had a telescope, a broken one, but I don't know how Russ got it to work. But he looked up at the stars, and he was witnessing to my kids and cheering. I just remember them with such fondness. But in the back, as I was walking around yesterday, on one of their flyers says this verse, Isaiah 55, 12, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Just thought, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful we can have that peace? Listen to that again. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. That's the desire of my heart. Now, I'm just going to end with one last story. I'll try not to make it long. It's a very long story. But it's from World War II, and it's about a mom, and I just love this mom. It was such a great story, and her son Fritz wrote this. If anyone is old enough to know what the Reader's Digest is, it was in the Reader's Digest. So in 1973, Fritz and his mom are sent. It's the Battle of the Bulge, and they're sent to a cabin by their father who's in the war, and they go to the cabin because their town has just been destroyed in the midst of the war. And as they're in the cabin, Fritz and his mom are there, and they hear a knock at the door. True story. and they open the door, and there are three American soldiers standing before them. One of them is very wounded. Now, the mom, I don't know what was running through her head, but as she looks out at these three babies, 16, 16, and 23, they are young. And the story says she just went into mom mode. You will listen to me. You will come inside, and you're going to put your guns down, and I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to help you. Imagine that. Being that way, I probably would have ran out the back door and been 2 miles away and just let them take over the whole place. But she says, I am going to do this. They come in, and Fritz is there, and he remembers it clearly, and they come in, and they listen to the mom. They didn't speak German, but they spoke French so they can communicate. The mom had a rooster named Herman that they had for dinner, and she was cooking everything. They hear a knock at the door. Now, Fritz runs to the door, but the mother steps in front of him and opens the door, and there are three German soldiers. Four German soldiers, sorry. So the mom steps outside and basically says to them, you can come in, and I will feed you, and I will take care of you, but there are guests inside you will not like. And of course, they say the Americanas are inside, and they get all angry and everything. And she said, look, she said, this is the way it's going to be. And these soldiers who were just on the battlefield killing each other walked in the house, put their guns down, and sat at the table with three American soldiers. So much so that one of them knew medicine and started to help the American soldier get better. So what happened there, they had dinner and they had grace. She said grace, and what she said was, come, Lord Jesus. This is her grace at the table. This is what she said to these seven soldiers who were just killing each other on the battlefield. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Fritz recounted it, saying there wasn't a dry eye in any of those hardened soldiers. They were all crying at the table. Not only that, she takes them, except the one who was sick, at night, and she says, everyone get to the door. And she opens the door, and they look up, and she said, I just want us all to look at the Star of Bethlehem. Do you see this mom? Do you see her giving peace to these people that she honestly didn't have to, didn't need to? This is an amazing story. The end of it is, the next day, they're all leaving. And they're going their own way. These men have become friends where one of the American soldiers say, hey, you know what? We're going to go this way. He's like, no, don't go that way. If you go that way, you surely will be killed because we have overtaken that area. So they're even helping each other. In the end of the story, it says, the mother gave them all back their weapons. Be careful, boys, she said. I want you to get home someday where you belong. God bless you all. The German and the American soldiers shook hands, and we watched them disappear into opposite directions. When I returned inside, Mother had brought out the old family Bible. I glanced over her shoulder. The book was open to the Christmas story, the birth in the manger, and how the wise men came from afar bearing their gifts. Her finger was tracing the last line from Matthew 20:21. They departed into their own country and other way. Listen to her grace, her prayer around the table. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. My only question to you, is Jesus Christ your Prince of Peace? Do you have that same belief that this mom had? Is he your Prince of Peace? Is he your Shalom? I just want you to think about that. He can be. He can be. You cry out to the Lord, and you know what? He is not a Lord or a God or a Master or a Savior who is sitting over there in the corner and like, oh, I'm busy. No, he is a God who has his arms open wide, waiting for you to come home. Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your message. We thank you who you are. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you that you give us your peace, and we thank you that you secured our peace. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.